Hey guys, I haven't posted anything in a while. I feel like when God wants something said, then I will usually post something. And my friend Gabby is here today. I went to high school with her, and when I saw her in Target, God was like, okay, you need to ask her to come over. So Gabby's here today to speak. We're just kind of going with the flow today. So here's Gabby.
And we've kind of already started.
Yeah, we've kind of already started. We've actually been talking for probably 35, 40 minutes about life, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today. So if you want to go ahead and get started, then I'll feed off of you.
Okay,
Sorry, the dog's in the background, so ignore that.
well, in high school, that was like my turning point. Like, from ages 2 to 16, like that's when something is going to happen to change your life. And I feel like, I moved to Bremen. I was never meant to move. Like, that was a distraction to get me away from my purpose. I was never meant to move. And I was seeking a guy. And what you seek seeks you. And I give this example when I tell people this a lot. Like, if you lose your job and you're like, man, I gotta pay my bills. Like, I need money to pay my bills. Like, a situation's gonna present itself to you. But if it comes from God or the enemy, like, you gotta be able to figure that out. But, I moved to Bremen my junior year, and then I went through a horrible breakup. And I was depressed, and I started drinking, and I started smoking because I thought, this is going to cover up this pain, and I'm not going to have to deal with it. I'm not going to have to think about it. And I actually put myself in a position. I was hanging around with people I thought were my friends that weren't my friends. And I went with one of them to a party one night, and I was actually raped at this party. And from that point on, I changed who I was around and where I was going, and I made my circle a lot smaller. And I dealt with that in my own way. It took me a couple years before I even told anybody. I mean, the people that were there knew, but they didn't want that guy to get in trouble. So what was said about it was not
So they were
what
basically
happened.
covering up what he did instead of.
And so I just dealt with it the best way I knew how.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to tell anybody about it. I didn't want to talk to anybody about it. And then I got in a very serious relationship after high school. And I actually got engaged. And I knew that something wasn't right. Like, he was my best friend. And I mean, we did have a lot of good times together, but people have things they have to deal with, and a lot of times they don't realize it. And I was striving. I told you we listened to Michael Todd, and he's talking about the pace of grace right now. And I was striving to find someone to get married, to have, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And that's not, he says, if you do this, then you're not going to be as happy as when I have it meant for you. Like, you have to wait and you have to strive for it. So when I do give it to you, I'll be happy. You'll be happy. But during high school, I did not surround myself with the best people or the best situations. I had you as a light. You were one of my little lights in high school. But it's so weird thinking back, like, how I thought about myself and thought about other people. And now I realize, like, they were going through stuff too, and how they were acting was just to cover up what they were going through.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. And me and Gabby hung around the same people, so it's crazy. from high school to now, like how we were talking about this earlier, that God literally moved us in a different direction than what our peers, where our peers were going, which is sad, you know, that we've seen our peers gone this way. We don't want that for them at all. But it's crazy that we were saved from that, because I really do believe that our we would be living completely different lives right now that would not be glorifying to God whatsoever.
And I think having that stability from my grandmother, who was very mm-hmm. active in church and very active in prayer, having that in my life was a big thing for me, because I grew up around drugs, like, until my senior year. Like, it was around me. It was in my home, like, and I could have easily went down a different road.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's so crazy looking back at all the situations I was in and saying, like, God's hand was in that. Mm-hmm. Because if not, then I could have died, like, or something could have happened to me that I couldn't, you know, it would have taken me a long time to come back from.
Yeah, for sure.
So having, you know, and those teachers, those certain teachers that were always there for you and supportive and godly, like, mm-hmm. that's what helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not the ones that wanted to be my friend, that wanted to be cool with me, like, the ones that actually cared about my well-being.
Yeah. Do you feel like during high school, like, you would hear certain things from people and it would be like, oh, God is actually speaking through those people, whether it be your friends? Because I realize sometimes when I'm out in public and I meet a complete stranger, mm-hmm. and they say something that I have been praying to God about, like, it just comes out of their mouth and I'm like, what's going on?
Well, during that time, like, my relationship with God was not good. It was not mm-hmm. where it is now, and I don't even remember how many times I actually went to church. I mean, I do remember people saying things to me and it, like, being on my mind and it convicting me,
mm-hmm.
but I never did anything about it because I was so consumed in the pain that I was feeling,
mm-hmm.
and trying to avoid that and get through that. And I was thinking, my best thinking got me in the situations in high mm-hmm. school, not God's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, if I'm around these people that make me happy, and, like, I'm going to be completely transparent with you, like, the group of people I was around a lot of time, like, I felt like they looked at me in a certain way that made me feel important and worthy, and, like, she's so cool, like, Gabby's our best friend, you know, like, that feeling, like, it made me feel like I had a place,
mm-hmm.
but in reality, all it was a distraction.
Yeah.
To, you know, but my relationship was not good then. So I mean, I prayed before I went to sleep, but it was like protection for my family, like, help me sleep good. Like, it wasn't show me a direction, you know? So, I mean, I know people spoke into me without me fully knowing or without them fully knowing, but as far as praying for something and then seeing it, that didn't really start happening until about 4 years ago, four mm-hmm. or 5 years ago, like, probably a year after graduation, because okay. I wasn't seeking it, you know?
Right. It just blows my mind. So now, being in the place that you are now with Christ, like, what's some encouragement that you would give maybe someone who's in high school, or maybe someone who is our age that might be struggling with some things that we were around?
Well, I'm just at the beginning of this, of fully devoting myself to this, and it's a struggle. I'm not gonna say it's hard for me to talk. Like, I can't talk to people because it's a progress. Like, I'm working on it. So that's mm-hmm. not who I am. That's a struggle. But I think not talking and holding it in and secluding yourself, like, that's what the enemy wants. Because when he gets you there, that's when he can twist your mind and twist your thoughts and put things in front of you. Because Cody always says, I think it's, don't believe anything you see and half of what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And for kids, especially during that time, it's very difficult because, you know, you're getting all these things that you don't understand, and then you have the world telling you, be this way, do this, and you're like, oh, that'll fix it, you know. And I think that's what we do. We, you know, we strive for the next thing, and we get on this road where we're like, okay, these friends, this car, this major, this is going to get me what I want. And it's not filling that void. It feels like it is, you know, mm-hmm. but I think to truly have the happiest I've ever been is now, because I, you know, I'm getting blessings that, you know, I'm seeing them happen, mm-hmm. you know, walk by faith, not by sight, you know, but God is showing me what he can do in my life, and like, it's literally happening like right in front of me. And like a couple weeks ago, you know, all this stuff is happening and we're going down the road, and Cody's like, thank you God. And it sounds crazy, you know, but to me, like, I know where it came from. And actually, about a year ago, we rescued a cat from a house fire, and it burned her ears off, and, you know, we had to baby her back to health or whatever. But we're going down the road, and he's like, thank you God. And something ran across the road, and I was like, what was that? And he stopped, and it was a cat. And so he just picked it up and put it in the truck, and we went down, and we had to go back to his parents. So we went back down that road again, and I was like, stop. And there was another one, so we put it, and they both didn't have tails. And so, and within that, you know, God's saying, like, these don't have tails, Caroline doesn't have ears, and you love them the way they are, and I love you just the way you are, you know. And it was just one thing after another. And, you know, on the way home, we ordered pizza, and we got there, and they had called us, and they said, the credit card machine messed up. Your pizza's free, but it's on the way. And we were just like, you know, anybody else would be like, oh, free pizza. But it was one thing after another. And we were like, you know, thank you for this free meal, because we were at the very beginning of a gratitude season, and realizing, you know, to be grateful for what we already have. And within that, Cody got an opportunity to speak to someone who was his father's first disciple.
Wow.
And I think that kids in high school need to be more grateful, because I think that's one of the first steps, is realizing what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, that's why I feel like, I know, that's why I feel like I haven't, you know, been in a position to get a new car yet, because I haven't fully been thankful for the one that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God's not going to give you bigger and better if you can't handle what you already have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's very important, is, you know, especially to be in prayer and to talk to God, but start small and just start being grateful for the things around you,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, you have a home, or mm-hmm. you have food, or you have parents or school,
mm-hmm.
you know, things we take for granted on a daily basis.
Yeah. I also feel like, you know, the blessings that he keeps on giving, he knows that you weren't expecting them.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool. If you're doing it with expectations, like you expect God to give you these things, I feel like maybe he won't give you those things.
Because his glory can't be shown in them.
Right.
Like, he wants to give... This morning, he was talking about the walls of Jericho. You know, and it might be ridiculous to those people that you're just marching around and, you know, blowing the horns and stuff. But I'm going to take this ridiculous situation and it's going to glorify me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with what you just said, like, if it can't glorify him and it's going to glorify you.
Right. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I also feel like that way in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was in the same boat you were. I thought that I would get some type of fulfillment from being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that God had made me for so much more than just a relationship, which I feel the same way for you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, when he calls people, sometimes in life when they choose to do other things that they don't seek God's permission from,
mm-hmm.
they just get in a whole mess, and it's not really glorifying to God, like you said. It's self-glorifying. So and I'm at the beginning of that too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you are doing what God has called you to do, he will send you somebody, like he has sent you Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, there will be a day where I am sent somebody, and I feel like if it's something that is worrisome to you, that's Satan, because Satan puts the worry in you.
Yeah.
You know, once you pray that out, which you will most likely have to do that a couple of times, because
yeah.
I had to do it a
yeah.
couple of times, it'll leave. Like, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is sneaky, though, I will have to say, and he will try to get his way back in and be like, oh, why aren't you worried about this?
Mm-hmm.
You're 23, you know, you're getting on up there. But I'm like, you know what? I could care less if I meet somebody anytime in the near future, because you know what? God's using me for something else right now, and that can come later if that's what's supposed to happen. So it's like you're counteracting what Satan's saying with what God says. When you do that, when you are counteracting what Satan says with what God says, which is the truth, then your life's going to change drastically, I believe. Your whole perspective on things, your heart,
mm-hmm.
it's going to change. Sure.
And a lot of times I feel like I need to seek guidance, because like I don't know how to deal with this situation or this situation. And I'm not saying don't, but I also look at it like, if I was studying like I should and reading my Bible like I should and talking to God like I should, then he would give me the grace and the wisdom to be able to handle these situations that I don't know how to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I had a thought, but I lost it. So I must not have needed to say it. So that's that.
So you said you earlier that you were working with Celebrate Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
What's something significant that you've learned through working with these people, praying over these people?
Well, at first, I was going because I knew that I just needed some more church. And then I actually invited Cody to come, and I was like, you know, I'll keep going, you know, so that you feel comfortable, you know, you have someone that mm-hmm. you know there. And so that's what initially like kept me going, to be there for a friend. And then I just really started stepping out more. And, you know, what I've been through in my childhood, it's actually prevented me from speaking out, and it's made me soft-spoken,
mm-hmm.
and that's because I have a voice, and the enemy don't want me to use it. And then I just started, you know, really watching Michael Todd, Stephen Furtick. I started watching their stuff, and I just started speaking, and, you know, it's not me. But I just started speaking into these people's lives. And one night I said something to some woman in our group, and she was just like, you really helped me. Like, how old are you? And at the time, you know, I think I was 21. And I was like 21, and she was like, you just really spoke to me. And I was like, she was like, you are strong and all this. And I was like, thank you, because I don't feel that way. I don't mm-hmm. feel like I'm capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God uses people, the broken people, the people who think they're not capable. You know, he's not going to. I mean, he can work in any direction, but you know what I'm yeah. saying initially. So when that happened, I was like, you know, growing up through everything I did, I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to be here with these recovering addicts and these people struggling with these situations, because, I mean, I've never dealt with anything hardcore, mm-hmm. but I've grown up around it and I've seen the repercussions from it and what people have had to deal through, like to go through from it. And so it just slowly progressed, but then now it just flows out of me when I talk to these people. And it's like I want more grace. I have grace, but I want more grace, because mm-hmm. it helps me look at a person and not look at them for their actions or what they're doing, but look at them and understand why they're doing that. Mm-hmm. And where that's coming from. And when you see that root, then that helps you be able to get in touch with that person more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really helped me step out of my box. So in my mind, it's kind of like Jesus like laid this out for me, and like that's my big platform to be a vessel for him. Like, that's where I can do the most good, is what I feel like. And when I go and I pray for those people, and the Holy Spirit's there, and you can see the chains breaking and you can see it clicking and what they have to do, like, that's what keeps me going. Like, seeing that light bulb go off and people are like, oh. And like, when they realize that all this stuff going on, all this turmoil and things they're going through, is distractions. And you know, I tell women a lot, like, it's the hardest before your breakthrough. Like, you're going through all this right now, but keep going, keep fighting, because what's on the other side of that is going to be amazing. And I think just being able to do that for God, like, being able to be a vessel for him and help those people, I have a heart for that. I have a heart for helping people and for helping, you know, kids, because if you start with the parents, then the parents are gonna, you know, show the kids. So it's like, it's always these vicious cycles. So if somehow we can switch it around and make it a positive cycle, it'll be like a domino effect, and it'll just, you know, spread out.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, you know, that's what I'm thinking, but it's smaller, like I'm starting smaller. Mm-hmm. Stepping stones, but that's why I do it. I just have a heart for being there for people, for helping people.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm crying.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you feel like would be some wisdom for us, because when it comes down to the very hard moments, even when we are praying and we're broken down, you know, what helped you during those times?
Well, a few months ago, me and Cody had actually broken up for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that he didn't love me and I didn't love him. It was just, there was so much that we just had to like separate ourselves, because it was limbo.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it hurt really, really bad, because I was like, man, I thought God sent me this man. Like, I've never had anything like this. And I was completely broken. And I think that in those times when we're struggling the hardest and we can't see a way out, God's trying to change our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's trying to change something in us. Mm-hmm. And I think just being willing and not trying to strive for anything and trying to make things go your own way and literally putting everything in his hands is a big deal. And within that, you have a lot of self-growth, which is what I needed. That was that season of my life, was self-growth, and helped me realize how strong, how capable I was, like what I could actually do. And during that time, like, I really started digging in and started studying, and God was revealing all this stuff to me. And it's like, just trust me, just talk to me. Like, any relationship you have with people, you have to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be like, hey, what's up, JC? How's it going? You know? So I think when we are struggling, when it's the hardest to talk to God and to pray, that's when you need to do it the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because just last night, I told you I've been going through crazy spiritual warfare. And just last night, I just felt so burdened and so heavy. Like, I couldn't think. I couldn't mm-hmm. move. Like, and then we prayed, and as soon as we prayed, it was like, it wasn't all gone, but it was mm-hmm. like, whew. So yeah. Just, and you don't have to really get into it, but just open your mouth and declare that and speak to him. Like, that's what's going to make it start rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that happened last night, and I went home, and I just laid in my bed, and I was praying. You know, thanking him for the opportunities that he puts in front of us every single day. And Cody called me, and we have a friend, and he knows this little kid who's really struggling right now. He's not in a good situation. He's really struggling, and he texted our friend, and he was like, hey, you know, can you bring me? It was midnight. He's like, can you bring me some food? Like, we haven't had food for 4 days. He's 15 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, Cody called me, and he was like, you know, I'm going to come get you. Like, you know, we're going to take this kid some food. And my mom's on the food ministry at our church. So we always have frozen meats, like pork chops, chicken and stuff. So, you know, we got some of that. But I was just thinking, like, when you're obedient, God will put so many things in front of you
mm-hmm.
and let you, like, when you bless people, you get blessings back. And it's not that I'm like, I'm going to do this because this is going to happen. Like, it right. really fills you with joy
mm-hmm.
to be able to be put in this position. And
I love seeing their faces, you know, after.
And I don't think this kid has ever really had anybody pray right. for him. So it wasn't like an aha moment, but mm-hmm. afterwards he was like, thank y'all so much. I love y'all, you know, and it doesn't matter what time. It was 1 o'clock in the morning when we went and did this, and it doesn't matter. You know, when God calls you, you go, you mm-hmm. know, and that's the crazy thing about it, because God has no limitations. And, like, if you just listen to him and you're obedient, he'll have you out in the road at 1 o'clock in the morning to help somebody, mm-hmm. you know. And I think it's hard for people to wrap their mind around it. Like, the miracles that happen in the Bible, they're still happening today. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel like they have to see it. And no offense to scientists, no offense to people that's their way. But I just thought the other day, I was like, people that do believe that way, where do they get their hope from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they have to see everything.
Mm-hmm.
They have to see how it happens.
They have to have a formula for everything.
See how it works. Yeah. So how do they truly make it through all the time? Like, where is their hope?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, if this falls through, that's it. Mm-hmm. But it's not. Like, there's so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the more you surrender, the more you'll receive.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That was good.
It's not me. It's just flowing. It's not me. It's not me.
I feel like the blessings that when they come back, you know, like you said, it's not always, I don't think it's always like materialistic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, when you went and helped this boy, his gratitude towards y'all, like the way that he was also pouring into you guys, saying that he loved you, he was grateful. That to me is a blessing.
And it's a start.
Yeah.
You know, he might not fully understand, because like I said, that age is very difficult. But and I feel like, you know, our friend was used a lot. I sat in the truck the whole time, and Cody prayed over him. But I feel like our friend was actually used for one of the first times in his life. And I feel like, you know, we were vessels to help him be mm-hmm. a vessel,
mm-hmm.
you know, and regardless of who did it or how it happened, like we were used
mm-hmm.
some way. And like you said, it's not always materialistic, but just God showing you what he can do with you
mm-hmm.
in itself is a blessing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Wow.
So what about you?
Oh goodness, here we go.
What about you in high school? Like, what do you think?
High school was interesting, for sure. There weren't many people that I hung out with that loved God.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was mainly my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I hung out with people that, you know, would smoke and would drink, and I mean, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, because I didn't really have many friends in high school. I would try to be friends, but it, yeah. I mean, it's hard. I would do that just because I thought that maybe if I did this thing, like I would have some place.
Yeah.
Like you said, I felt like it would put me in a position to make me feel wanted, which looking back at it now, it's really silly to think that having to do something that's so wrong will make everything right. You know, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I really started asking God for help during my junior year of mm-hmm. high school.
Which is when I met you.
Yes, which is exactly when we met. I was asking for friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's good to feel wanted. It's good to feel like...
accepted.
You, yes, mm-hmm. like you are genuinely... loved by your peers,
mm-hmm.
not we're just friends
because of what you have,
right.
or what you can give.
Right. I met Gabby, and she was one of my closest friends. I probably had maybe three really close friends, and one of them was a teacher. I loved pouring into people and being there for people. There was a friend of me and Gabby's that got in a wreck, and it scared the crap out of me. Sorry, I say crap a lot because I feel like it's a little accepted. She got in a really bad car accident, and she had been someone that I've been praying over for a long time, because I could see drive in her, and I'm like, what if she used that for Christ?
Yeah.
Because she, this girl, oh my gosh, is strong as all get out.
Yes.
She has a voice, and I'm like, not that I was trying to recruit her by any means, but I'm like, you know, if she knew who Christ was, I know what kind of impact she would make.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed over her, and I, you know, was asking God to show her who he was. Mm-hmm. When I heard, I was actually, it was after church when I heard about it. I was at, I remember this, I was at Fellini's in Atlanta, and my friend Bria called me, and she was like, "Hey, I know you and Logan were really close. She got in a really bad car accident." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She was like, "Yeah, she's at Grady right now." I was like, "Holy crap." And I knew that her and our friend Dylan were close. And I called Dylan and told him. And he was like, "What?" Mm-hmm. And he didn't know. So I was like, "God, was this?"
There was a lot of people involved in that wreck that were around us.
Yes.
A lot.
We knew these people. There wasn't one person in that car that me and Gabby didn't know. Like, we knew every single person in this vehicle. And I had heard that her stomach was open, and she, the two boys in the back were shielding her, trying to protect her. She crawled up the embankment to get help. And I'm just thinking, you know, the way her, because I saw the wound, like, I helped her clean it. And I'm like, how in the world did she survive crawling up that embankment with the kind of injury that she had? My friend Nick had a tire literally sitting in his lap, like, crazy. Like,
how did they survive?
Right. Like, yeah. This makes no sense to, I mean, it does, but it makes no sense to a mind of someone who doesn't know who Christ is, how they survived. Mm-hmm. I had, like I said, I've been praying over her, and I was asking God, you know, not necessarily questioning him, yeah, but it was like, was this your way of getting her attention? Like,
yeah, and a lot of people think, you know, God did this. God right. caused this. And I don't think he makes things happen. Mm-hmm. I think he allows things to happen.
Because right.
he'll have his hand on our shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and we're on our path. But, you know, if we veer off, he's going to take his hand off, and he's just mm-hmm. going to stand behind us, and he's going to be like, "You think you can do it on your own? I'm going to let you see
mm-hmm.
how much you need
right.
me."
Which I feel like a good part of her felt like she could do it all on her own, because she is a very independent person.
And she has a very strong personality.
Yes. I think I remember her even telling me the doctors were even surprised, you know, mm-hmm. that she made it. Like, this, I'm not even joking.
It was the seatbelt that, yeah, like, cut through
it
her stomach.
It cut, like, diagonally mm-hmm. and horizontally. Like, it looked like she had a cross on her stomach. Like, I'm not kidding. The first time, like, when she first got home, I remember that the doctors had given her this machine that would, like, take the excess liquid
mm-hmm.
out of that wound. And she would show me. It was so gross.
Yeah, I remember when I went to visit her. And,
But also remember that she was, like, a completely different person. It changed the way I saw things. Like, that incident made me change the way I saw things. How I viewed the people that I hung out with. Not in a negative way, but more of, like, I have to love these people. Regardless if they don't love me back, I have to love these people. Like, these are the people that I am supposed to pour my love into
mm-hmm.
at this time. I could tell that she realized, like, if she were to have died in that wreck, where would she have gone?
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I don't know where I would have gone. You know, she was talking about God in a way that I've never heard her talk about God.
Mm-hmm.
she was reading her Bible. She was.
I remember her having it in her lap.
Yes, she held that thing. She would not let it go. I remember one of our other friends who, well, his name's Dylan. But anyways, he has told me a little bit about his life, but I won't necessarily go into that because I feel like that's something for him. To talk about when it's his time to talk about it. But I know that he was also having a hard time with some things that he didn't necessarily communicate about, and Logan was trying so hard to talk to him about God. I remember when he bought a Bible and he brought it to Logan's house and was showing it to her, and I could tell he was so excited about buying that Bible. And inside my mind, I'm like, okay, like, so excited.
And like, imagine if we could get so excited like that about God, like we get excited about football, or, you know, cool trucks, or like, you know, competitions and stuff. Like, the excitement we have for earthly things is so much more enjoyable and so much more fulfilling,
right,
when it's for God. And like, I was really struggling. Like, I was praying the whole way over here because I was like, you know, guard and guide my tongue, because I have struggled with fear for a long time. And I'm like, I don't want to say anything and someone be like, oh, well, you know what she did? You know, why is she talking about, like, but yeah, I did do all that stuff. And guess what? That progressed me to my purpose. Like, that gave me a foundation to help these other people, to connect with these other people. And like, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. Like, you know, we need to be bold, and we need to step out, and we, you know, you said you're not trying to recruit them, you know, and I struggle with presentation because I get so excited and I'm like, God did it, listen to what he did, but you have to come to that person in a way that they're going to receive it. But just like you said, you felt like that happened and the people around it, that was going to impact them. And I do feel like there's different seasons and things like that happen to reach people and use people to reach more people. And I kind of see it as like a nerve, you know, with all the branches and stuff. But that just came to my mind because that incident, like, it did touch a lot of people. And whether it was those people that were involved in the wreck or people close to them, like, there were people affected.
Good. Right.
Yeah.
You could tell a difference in the parents as well. I you know, I also, when I thought about Logan and what happened to her, I also thought about Job. Like, that was like, like, to a T.
Yeah.
Like, what I thought about. It was the one thing that popped in my mind, like, when I heard the words through the phone, Logan got in a car accident. I thought about, like, what God had allowed Job to go through. You know, how you said, like, God didn't have his hands on it. He was kind of standing behind and letting Satan do his thing. He was like, you can't have him, but you can do these things.
Yeah.
And
it's like tug of war. You know, like, like, they're mine. And he's like, well, I want to, like, these are my puppets, you know. But he's like, no, you can't hurt them. My grandmother sent me a testimony of this man. And don't lose your train of thought where we were. But he used to be a warlock.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Yes. And he, when he was 5 years old, his family was in a cult. And his mother took him to a tarot card reading, and he said, that's when it happened. That's when it attached itself to me. And
talking about a demon. Okay.
And he got older, and this is a testimony from this man. And he, this woman came to him and said, I need you to kill this woman. And he said, okay. And she said, she goes to our church and she's having an affair with my husband. And he said, okay, $10,000. And she said, well, there's something I need to tell you. She's a strong Christian. Like, she's a Christian. He's like, I'll do it for free. And so he put her picture in the casket, put the 21 candles, because, you know, the enemy, he uses the number 21. And he said he did his rituals, and this woman was supposed to be dead in a month. And he did it for 4 months, and she was still alive.
Hmm.
And he was saying, why would I believe in a God I can't see when my God will sit on the couch beside me and talk to me? Like, that's how deep into it he was. Like, he could see the devil. And after that 4 months, and it still wasn't, you know, he came to him. He was like, everything you're trying to do to destroy this woman, to kill her, you have to stop. And he was like, but why? He was like, you have to stop what you're doing. He was like, I don't understand. Why do I have to stop? And he said, because God told me that you can't touch this woman. You can't kill her. She has a purpose. You have to leave her alone. And he said, in that moment, that's what changed my life. And that's why I became a Christian. Because even though all this stuff is thrown at us from the enemy, God is always going to be right there over us, protecting us, keeping us safe. No matter how hard the enemy's fighting, no matter how hard he's pushing the people that are, you know, trying to do work for him, like,
mm-hmm.
ultimately, God has the power and he has control. And, you know, over that situation, you know, it didn't matter what those kids were doing, what was going on. If they were doing completely horrible things, like, they have a purpose, and God watched over them and kept them safe so they could live out that purpose.
Oh.
You know?
Going off of that, it's actually cool how that's going to tie into, fast forward a couple years after high school, like, my relationships towards guys weren't healthy whatsoever.
Yeah.
Giving yourself to a man that is not meant for you outside of marriage,
mm-hmm.
like, it changes your life, really. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's... Soul ties.
Yes.
And a soul tie is just when you sleep with someone,
mm-hmm.
and you're connected to that person,
mm-hmm.
until you go through the process of breaking that soul tie.
Right.
So everybody that is connected to them is now connected to you, and all the junk,
mm-hmm.
like, it just connects.
And it keeps piling.
Yeah.
The stuff, because I feel like each person has their own baggage, and in that soul tie, it kind of, like, weighs on you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the baggage just keeps piling up.
I realized, like, how heavy that was,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of, I made myself sick.
Yeah.
To the point, like, I was sick for about a whole month. Like, I wanted to throw up. Like, I could not grasp at how disgusting I felt,
mm-hmm.
you know?
The guilt and the shame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That changed my life too, because I'm like, I don't want that to be my purpose. You know, here, I don't want that to be an example of who I am.
Yeah.
And I know that's not the way my heart is. I know that's the way my flesh is. Did I make these decisions? Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Do I regret them? Heck yeah, I do. I would go back in a heartbeat to change my life if I could. Mm-hmm.
But two, if you did that, you wouldn't be where you are now and have came in contact with the people you have and touched
mm-hmm.
the people that you have
mm-hmm.
and have the knowledge that you have now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like having gone through that, I kind of have a better understanding of what God wants for me
mm-hmm.
in a man, in a godly man. And that's what, like, I look for.
Mm-hmm.
If I, you know, when I do look, when he, if he brings somebody to me, I look for those things. You know, and I'm like, okay, do these add up to what God wants for me? And yes. If it's no, then I'm like, sorry, this isn't going to work out.
Yeah, and it's very simple. Mm-hmm. We make it difficult
mm-hmm.
because of our flesh. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like, you know, me and Cody were just talking about this literally like 2 nights ago. But like, if that's happening, that person doesn't truly love you. Like,
mm-hmm.
we were talking about, he was like, do you know what love is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you know? How do you know what love is?
Mm-hmm.
By what you've seen? Mm-hmm. By what people have taught you? Like, you know, and that really opened my eyes the same, because I was like, you know, I don't really know, because if I did, then I wouldn't have allowed myself to do the things I've done.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have been with these people. You know, I would have respected myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's there's so many variables, and it's just another way to drag us away from our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And if we stay in our word, we can have all the tools we need.
Right. That had changed my life. I feel like that had changed my life significantly. Mm-hmm. In that sense. Now, yeah. When it came to fear, like, I'm a scaredy cat. And like, I grew up watching like scary movies and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and I feel like that was always in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it until it started coming up later. Like, a year ago, one of my friends handles scary movies completely differently than I do. Her walk with Christ, hers is a very strong walk.
Yeah.
She's my age, but she's kind of like a mentor towards mm-hmm. me, when it comes to spiritual walk. She was like, hey, you should watch these movies. I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'll watch them. You know, no big deal. She told me to watch The Conjuring mm-hmm. and Annabelle Creation, I think. I'd never seen these movies. I just, you know, saw the previews and everything. I was like, yeah, I can watch these. It'll be fine. I made the worst decision I ever made in my life. I actually, instead of just watching those two movies, I watched The Conjuring, The Conjuring 2, Annabelle, and Annabelle Creation in the span of 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Like, I watched all these movies in the span of 2 days. I was, like, glued to my phone. Like, my eyeballs almost came out of the sockets. In these movies, there's this demon called Valak. And the way that they dressed him up was like I don't know if you've seen it before.
Don't lose your train of thought, but the way I view movies like that, you know, our ears and our eyes are gateways,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
for sure.
I feel like if I watch stuff like that, then that's opening a door that I don't want open.
Right.
So I stay away from scary movies.
Just want
movies.
You to know, it did open a door, and I closed it. Well, God closed it. I watched these movies, and the demon in the movie was dressed like this nun, but it was like this... I'm not going to go into description.
Yeah.
All I can say is that it's the... Think of the thing that just really terrifies the living life out of you. that's what that was for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I was scared to sleep. I was scared to look in the mirror. I was scared to go down. I lived downstairs, so I was terrified to be by myself. I was terrified to work because when that movie came out, there were those DVDs everywhere, so I saw it on the cover. Mm-hmm. It was like, I cannot get away from this. And it was like, it would go away for a little while, then it would come back, yeah, like, full force. There would be nights that I did go to sleep, but I would wake up and I couldn't move and I couldn't breathe. That like had a major hold on my life because I'm like, I know that Satan is using this against me. I know that he is terrifying me, because here's the thing. Demons are real.
Yeah.
They are a real thing. And I was like, one, I cannot handle a demon by myself.
Yes.
God is the only one who can save me from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it's kind of funny because I went on a church trip for 2 months in South Carolina, and I felt like there was something that was just trying to work its way in.
Yeah.
Because I was growing big time and trying to figure out where God wanted to place me. And like, that's when I initially started praying out loud.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in your mind, you can pray in your mind all you want,
but
it has to be.
Yeah. Stephen Furtick says, you know, you can pray in your mind, but when you speak it, that's where it has the most power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you rebuke things, you mm-hmm. speak it, and our tongue has so much power, life and death, you know, mm-hmm. and the principalities of the air, they're waiting. They're sitting there, you know, they're waiting to see, because, you know, Satan doesn't know what goes on in our heads. We tell him because we talk about it. And whatever we say, anything negative that comes out of our mouth, you know, if you talk bad about yourself, or, you know, I used that example earlier, I need a job. He's going to use that and put something in your life to try to hurt you. Not, mm-hmm. I mean, physically sometimes if it's really bad, but he's going to put distractions and situations that physically, emotionally, mentally is going to break you down some and,
right.
and pull you away from where you're supposed to be going.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Todd was talking about, or it might have been one of his preachers under him was talking about, you know, in Genesis, it talks about, you know, strike your heel but not your head, and within that it's saying like he'll strike your heel to get you off the path, but he can never reach your mind. Like, he can put things in front of you and people can say things to start twisting.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he can't get in here.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the only way he was in there was because he knew that I had watched those things.
Those movies.
Because my eyes.
Yes.
You know, I started praying out loud. And I feel like the same thing that was there when I was on the college retreat also came back
mm-hmm.
for when I was... after I had watched those movies, because yeah. like, okay, I'm going to attack in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was efficient. Like, I'm not going to lie. Whatever strategy that was, I don't know. It was effective. It terrified me to good gracious.
Yeah.
and like, it got to the point where I was like, I was kind of scared to speak. To pray out loud, because
yeah.
I'm like, I know it's here. Like, I know it is in this room. I know a lot of people don't understand this,
mm-hmm.
But I have that sense.
Yes.
I have the sense if something in the room is not right. I feel like that's a form of discernment that God gives
mm-hmm.
you. And I'm like, I know it's in this room. I can feel it. And so I start praying. I will pray as I would pray as long as it took. I still do it because I'm like, you're not coming back and you are not going to affect my family. You will not lay hands on my sisters or my brother. Like, my brother has been somebody I've been praying for a long time, just because I feel like it. I feel like Satan really wants to get his hands on my brother. And I'm like, no, not going to happen.
Yeah.
I prayed. And I prayed until I felt it leave the room. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I will not stop until I know it is gone. I read my Bible out loud. I read the notes I'm writing out loud, because I want Satan to know that he is not going to have his hands on me.
And we, not us alone, but through Christ, we have the authority to tell him to leave. Mm-hmm. And you know that story I told you about.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.